Good afternoon again. This, well, sadly, is my last introduction for the program, and I don't want to say we've saved the best for last, but it is indeed a pleasure to introduce to you this afternoon Justice Espenard Goodwin, who is, of course, a justice on our Supreme Court. He joined that court in October of 2007, and before joining the Supreme Court of Virginia, he served as a state trial court judge for 12 years, during which he presided over a wide variety of civil and criminal cases in one of the busiest jurisdictions in Virginia. Of course, prior to going on the bench, he was a faculty member here at the University of Virginia School of Law, and he served as the research associate professor of law. After that, he was with one of the biggest firms in Virginia, Wilcox & Savage, where he was the litigation partner. He's a graduate of Harvard University in 1983, and the University of Virginia Law School in 1986. What's not in his bio, he was also a quarterback at Harvard, and he was also a highly sought out, turns out, quarterback, very short quarterback, but while at UVA, he was the editor of the Tax Review, and he also won the Ritter Award for Honor, Character, and Integrity. He is married to an 88 graduate of our law school and also a former student of mine, Sharon Smith, and now Goodwin. He has two children, Sammy, who's with us, and Sarah. Last but not least, Judge Goodwin, Bernard, was a student in the very first class I taught at UVA in 1984, and he's become one of my closest friends. Law professors, people often ask law professors, what sort of benefit do you get from the job? And watching Bernard grow and mature from a 1L, and I can tell you stories, into a successful lawyer, a noted jurist, and a devoted family man, that's part of the joy, the reward that we get as law professors. So it's my privilege and pleasure to introduce to you Bernard Goodwin, Justice Goodwin.
Alex, thank you very much for that kind introduction. As Alex stated, as a first-year law student here at the University of Virginia, I had the honor and pleasure of having Alex Johnson as my small section professor, and he has been a close friend and a mentor ever since. And when my mentor called and asked me to speak, I said, you know, how could I say no? And as my mentor, he says, you're right, you can't say no. And so I'm here, and I'm glad I'm here. I'm honored that Alex would ask me to speak, and I'm honored to speak on such an occasion as this. This conference is a wonderful opportunity for the members of the legal community, including law professors, practitioners, members of the bar, law students, to reflect upon and to discuss an important issue, and that issue is increasing the diversity in the legal profession. I'd like to thank the Center for the Study of Race and Law, the Asian Pacific American Law Students Association, the Black Law Students Association, the University of Virginia Law School Legal Forum, the University of Virginia School of Law, and the Virginia State Bar Conference on Diversity for sponsoring this conference. I pride myself on being a much better listener than speaker. Well, at least I say that because you can't tell whether I listen well or not. And this is an intimate gathering. So I'll tell you all at the beginning the same thing that Henry VIII told each of his wives. I will not keep you long. And when I asked my wife, Sharon, what I should speak about, and she said, about 10 minutes. And I normally follow her advice when I can. Well, first of all, I think we should reflect on why we're here and what we're doing in this conference where we're talking about increasing diversity in the legal profession. First, we need to look at what law is. You know, our law is a system of rules and guidelines that are enforced through social institutions that govern behavior. Law is a social mediator of relationships among people. The legal system elaborates the rights and representatives of the citizens of our society. But the law also raises important issues concerning equity, fairness, and justice. And one of the purposes of the Constitution of the United States, as stated in its preamble, was to establish justice. And in our democracy, this was accomplished by the creation of a judiciary which is tasked with enforcing and interpreting the laws of the land. Thomas Paine stated, "In monarchies, the king is the law. In our democracy, the law is king." The rule of law is the very cornerstone of our democracy. It requires every person to be treated justly, fairly, and equally under the law. That cannot be done unless we have an independent and impartial judiciary. This fair and impartial judiciary should be allowed to rule without expectation of favor or fear of reprisal from anyone. The imperative of the rule of law is fairness. It is necessary that the courts find, interpret, and determine the law based on the Constitution or constitutions, the statutory law as passed by the legislature, and the past decisions of the relevant courts. Judges make determinations concerning the applicability of the law, and that's why we need to talk about the importance of the diversity of the people who are making those decisions. Socrates stated that four things are required of a judge: to listen courteously, to answer wisely, to consider soberly, and to decide impartially. That is just as real today and just as true today as it was 2,400 years ago. So why is diversity so important, some people would ask? Why is there a need to encourage women and minorities and the economically disadvantaged to participate in the legal profession? To me, the answer is quite simple. Our nation is the greatest nation in the world, not because of the artificial barriers that divide us, but because of our rich and diverse cultures that we have blended and become, that has allowed us to coexist and to blend them together to become a great nation of individuals committed to the mutually accepted and treasured concepts of freedom and justice for all. And I believe that most of us here who are lawyers or who aspire to be lawyers have chosen to do so because we care about the preservation and protection of individual rights. We care about the preservation and protection of individual freedom. We care about our country, we care about society, and we care about the world. It takes, and it will continue to take, the input of all aspects of our society and of our culture to make our country as great as it can be and to make our laws as fair as we want them to be. Diversity is generally defined as acknowledging, understanding, accepting, and celebrating differences among people with respect to age, class, ethnicity, gender, physical and mental ability, race, and religion, or other factors. Diversity, however, is more than simply acknowledging differences in people. It also involves recognizing the value of differences. It concerns combating discrimination and promoting inclusiveness. As I've stated, the rule of law is the cornerstone of our democracy. However, a diverse judiciary is essential to the delivery of impartial justice, which is the reason for the rule of law. It is important that we demand fairness and justice for all, and it is also vitally important that citizens perceive that justice will be provided to all. Diversity helps us to accomplish both of these goals. Discrimination on the basis of factors such as gender and race and religion are a legacy of our past, and there's nothing we can do about our past. It is a consequence of historical patterns of bias within our society at large. But diversity helps in improving the situation as it presently stands. It helps institutions such as courts to become aware of and to eliminate barriers to communication between individuals of different backgrounds, some of which are difficult to discern. Diversity helps us to identify barriers such as subtle privileges and prejudices, and it helps us to understand certain reactions and receptivity to one another that we might have, and it helps us to understand the blindness to the consequences of differences and experiences within our own lives and within the lives of those that we interact with. And if you're a judge, that you have to make rulings concerning. And at this point, I thought of something that one of my colleagues told me the other day, which I thought was interesting. And it has to do with understanding. And in a lot of instances, given the diversity of our culture, we just don't understand what the other person is saying. And it's so important to have people at the table who can help with that translation. But one of my friends was talking about a friend of theirs who has a Southern accent, which I used to have. they were going to church. It was a woman, she was headed to church, and she's Catholic, so she was going to Mass. And she's scrambling, as we all do, and she's late, and she sees a guy on the street, a northerner, and in her southern drawl, she says, is Mass out? And he says, no, ma'am, but your slip is hanging. So, in a lot of instances, it takes different people at the table to even understand that they didn't know. They weren't even on the same page as to what was being said. And you need to have enough people around the table so you can figure that out and get everybody on the same page. Judges are human. In addition to our legal training, we bring with us to the bench our life experiences. Assuming and insisting upon comparable competence in the law, individuals from different backgrounds having different life experiences and talents bring different ideas to the table. And this creates a larger pool of experience and ideas to consider in analyzing and solving the complex issues presented in our legal system. Diversity, given the variety, this variety of approaches and thinking in a diverse group is a great source for examining issues from different perspectives and characterizing the issues at hand in different and competing ways. Diversity helps to create a larger knowledge base to extract information from and making sure that the rule of law is properly applied. It is important to note that lack of diversity, even if it does not contribute to bias, decreases the perception of fairness. Studies have shown that most people care more about how they are treated than the final outcome of their cases. Institutions that are diverse are perceived to be fairer. They are perceived to be more open and more tolerant. They are perceived to be more accepting of differences. They are perceived not to judge people just because they are different. This makes people who are involved in the process more positive about that process. And sometimes it just boils down to me explaining to a kid, you didn't catch a charge, you broke the law. It's not a guessing game. There are rules we have to follow. And you are part of the system, and you need to understand that system that you're living under. A diverse bench is essential to the preservation of confidence in our courts. For many, diversity improves the perception of fairness because it is evidence of inclusiveness. It indicates that we are all equally bound by the laws of the land, but also we're equally vested in making sure that the law is enforced impartially. The Supreme Court of Virginia, under the leadership of the late Chief Justice Leroy Hassell Sr., is an example of how important diversity is. Leroy Hassell, who attended law school here, undergraduate school here, in fact, he was a year ahead of Jackie, went to Harvard Law School, and he was an outstanding lawyer, with a great legal mind, and he became a great jurist. But Leroy grew up in the segregated South. He knew what it was like to go to segregated schools. He knew what it was like to go through colored entrance doors. He knew what it was like to be excluded. And because of that, he said himself, and I quote, "I made it my business when I became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Virginia to make sure everybody was included." And on any committee that the Supreme Court of Virginia had when Leroy Hassell was the Chief Justice, he was going to look for gender diversity, he was going to look for racial diversity, he was going to look for geographical diversity, he was going to look for diversity between the sizes of the firms people were from, the type of practices they were from, because he understood one thing. He understood that you get a better product with better input, and you get better input by including more people. And the other thing that Leroy was just dogmatic about was access to justice. You know, he often said, having a right doesn't mean anything if you can't enforce it. And because of that, he made it his business to go to the legislature to lobby for more money to pay court-appointed attorneys, to lobby for more money for interpreters so that people who didn't understand English would be treated fairly. He wanted to make sure that mentally ill people were treated properly in court. He beat lawyers down about providing pro bono services because he felt like poor people would not get an even shake in court. And all those things he did, not because he was a great jurist, which he was, but it was because of his life experience that sometimes the system doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And I believe that that is the perfect example of what diversity is all about. And it's the perfect example of why we have to have diversity. The things that Leroy supported, nobody was against. I mean, it was not something that anybody said no to, but it wasn't a priority. He made it a priority when he was at the table. And that's why we need diversity. Now, that comes full circle to what this whole conference is all about. This conference is so important because in order to ensure diversity in the judiciary, we have to make sure that people from diverse and underrepresented backgrounds have the skills, the training, and the opportunity to gather what they need to be strong judicial candidates. In closing, I would say we must be ever vigilant in continuing to identify and eliminate from the operation of our courts any impediments to fair treatment, especially bias, which is based on race, gender, age, disability, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, or any other characteristic which is without legal significance. Justice requires that the court system be open and accessible to all. It requires respect and dignity be afforded to every person, and it requires that we respond to the needs of everyone to make sure that they have the prerequisites that will ensure that they are treated fairly when they are in a court of law. And I believe diversity will help us in achieving that goal. Thank you all.